Okay, now I'd like to introduce our speaker for the day. He will speak until 10:10 and then answer any questions from the audience if time permits. Let us all welcome Kevin Y. from Mission Viejo. Yeah.
Would you make sure that everybody's in from inside for me? Thank you. I do have some CDs that I'll give out, but I like to make sure everybody's in. Yeah, we'll get a couple of old timers straggling in. Come on, fellas, the meeting start. Let's go, huh? My name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just kidding. Those of you who know me know that I'm not kidding. Nobody loves to hear me speak more than me. I was up this morning in the shower and talking to myself and a few things like that. I'd like to thank Red, I think, for asking me to come and speak. Ken said to you, his brother said, do you usually have a morning Sunday meeting? And I said, no, because I don't get up this early. So I drove all the way from Mission Viejo to be here today. Had to get up early. Yeah. I have a standing tea time at the club. It's 10:30, so I usually get up at about 9. But thanks, Red, for inviting me. I've heard a lot of things about Tustin sobriety. I go to meetings in Irvine and Costa Mesa, but I always know that there's a strong core group of people in Tustin that some guys from Alton used to come in, and George L. and Gary and a couple guys would come in, and I've spoke a couple times at the men's club and a few things like that. So I have a lot of respect for the Tustin area and what Tustin has done for the newcomers and things like that. There's a lot of strong sobriety in Tustin. So thank you, and I want to welcome the three people that identified. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I hope you feel welcome here. I mean, a lot of speakers say stuff. I hope you're in a lot of pain, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that. I was desperate when I got here. I was broken. I had a lot of stuff going on. And there's some people in here. You know, it's great to see Dennis. Dennis saw me come in here. You know, Red saw me come in. Dwight saw me come in. You know, it's amazing to me and to a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous, especially my father, who's got about 43 years sober, that I'm even still sober today. I was a mess. I was a wreck. So, I want to welcome the people that are new. And Bob, welcome to you from San Diego. Welcome here. Anybody who takes chips or birthdays, I want to say happy birthday to the woman with 18 years. I think that's fantastic. I'm sorry, that has a year and a half. I'm sorry. I thought that was cute. 18 days, a lot of courage to come up here and share. You know, that's awesome. This is a place of miracles. I heard Phil Petty say one time is, we transform nightmares into fairy tales. Now, a lot of you ain't going to stick around to find that out, but that happened for me. And I've had a tragedy happen last year, and I still believe that my life is a fairy tale because I know what it looked like. I know what it looked like when I got here. I was an absolute freak. I was a mess. And there was a woman that touched my heart with 54 days. And I want to tell you what I heard, my perception is I don't think that that's that dead feeling inside. I believe that I heard that you're coming alive. That's what I heard. 54 days is a long time without a drink. Long time. So, I had done so much damage. I had done, and I didn't know because what I did is I outran all the damage that I did. I just outran it. And eventually you're going to get tired and you can't outrun the damage. And then you turn around and you go, holy God, what is that? And that's a big pile of crap behind you. It's called wreckage. So my sponsor put it like this. He said, Kevin, let me just sum up your life in a little bit of an analogy. He said, you're driving this big 4-ton crap truck, and you're driving really fast. You go 85 miles an hour. You can't even smell that there's crap in the back of the truck because you're chewing dentine gum. You know, so, and then you blow through this guy's fence, you drive through his lawn, you wreck his flowers, you tear his patio off, and your truck ends up in the pool, you tear the diving board off. He goes, picture what that looks like. So I picture what it looks like. And he said, and you're the type of guy that does this. You get out of the truck, you dust yourself off, you walk to the front, he's standing there in his robe, freaked out that this has happened to him. And you said, hey, I'm sorry. And you take off. And what you believe is, everything's cool. Everything's fine. I apologized. Said I was sorry. Never gave him a chance to speak. He said, what we're going to do here, Kevin, over a period of time in your life is, we're going to go get that truck. We're going to get it out of the pool. And we're going to fix everything in that yard. We're going to fix the pool. We're going to paint the gate. We're going to paint the fence. We're going to replant the lawn. We're going to plant the flowers. We're going to watch the flowers come up. And then when you get to that gate and you close that gate, you're going to give him a hug and he's going to know you made amends. And I said, like all good alcoholics would say, how long do you think that's going to take? It's going to take a little bit more than 18 days. I can't even get the truck out of there in 18 days. So, you know, I can't tell you, you know, there's a lot of stuff they call spiritual awakening. They say spiritual experience. I can just tell you my experience, strength, and hope. My sobriety date's February 22nd, 1997. I didn't pick that date. I got sober during the holidays. Like, I tried to stop drinking on the 4th of July, and I got sober in February. Look at all the heads shaking. You know what I mean? Only we get that. Nobody else gets that. My mother has successfully drank alcohol all her life. All her life. She has never said, man, I could crave a drink today. Never said that. For those that are new, I don't know if this is going to make any sense to you or, you know, anybody in here or anybody suffering. I don't suffer from alcoholism when I'm drinking. It's not when I'm drinking. Okay, a lot of consequences happen. I'm going to tell you some stories. You know, a lot of stuff happens. I'm broken on the inside. I'm delusional. I'm confused. I'm crazy. I'm insane. I do insane stuff while drinking. Of course you do. If you drink a gallon of vodka, smoke a half ounce of cocaine, stay up for 7 days, you have sleep deprivation, you're going to do some crazy things, mostly without clothes on. Come on, ladies. I have an allergy to fabric. I lose it quickly. I'm not going to do that today. I'm 53. I don't want to lose any clothes here today. And I'll tell you when it happens for me is this. It's when I stop drinking. That's how I know I'm an alcoholic. There's two places that I know I'm alcoholic. Is when I stop drinking. And here's another blessing, and I hope you stay for this. It's when the program started to work for me after I started taking these steps and some things happened that I noticed were happening to me. I could look somebody in the eye and they said, hey, Kevin, don't you have 90 days today? And I looked them in the eye and I said, I have 92. I have 92. Don't short me 2 days around here. Don't do it. Don't short me 2 days. I have 90. I took a 90-day chip. They said, hey, congratulations for 90. I had to tell them that I had 92. But things were happening for me. Things were happening for me. Slowly. But when I stopped drinking before, I'm going to tell you, there's three words in the book that, you know, they might sum it up for you. But there's people in here who know me. Irritable, restless, and discontent are like kindergarten words when you come to my house. I'm violent, rageful, maniac, delusional, very confused, extremely upset, misunderstood, and I know all the answers. Now, if you put that in a package and add alcohol into it, look out, because that's what I looked like when I got here. And there were loving men in here. A couple of them are in here today. Loving men who said to me, keep coming back. And if you're new, that sounds like we like you. And that's what I thought. They didn't think I was coming back. I was an idiot. I was insane. I was wrapped. Man, when I stopped drinking, I was I had so many things going on. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I was going to 3 meetings a day and still working because I couldn't get the gorilla off my back. I couldn't get the monkey off my back. I'm going to tell you right now, I would leave a meeting and I'd get thirsty and I'd pass a hospital and I think I smelled ether. And, you know, by 2 o'clock, my spiritual battery had gone. I had none. I pick up the phone. I call Howard. I'd go, oh, I feel like drinking. And he'd go, go ahead. I immediately reported him to central office. I want you to know. I had heard you folks in here. This is a loving, caring, kind, tolerant program. We're going to love you till you love yourself. You know what I mean? Oh, come here. Give me a hug. We're so glad you're here. He told me stuff like, Kevin, listen, I've heard your story. And you're real hip, slick, and cool, and you know all the answers, you ain't going to stay here long anyway. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about doing them steps. Don't worry about picking up no chairs. He called me Slick. He didn't even call me by my name. He said, listen, Slick. I thought he liked me because that was a cool name, you know what I mean? Slick meant, yeah. You're going to slide your way right on out of here, Kevin. You're going to slide your way right. I can't believe that I'll be 16 this month. Time has flown by for me. Flown by. It's incredible. You know? There was a gentleman in here. And you guys are hardcore because I don't like that chapter 3 stuff. I don't like. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. You read that right in the morning when I get here. I'm like, what? It's your fault. Not my fault. I don't know who you blame everything on you. I don't know whose fault you think it is. You think it's my fault. It's not my fault. I'm going to tell you, we're judging you. Somebody came up here and said, I'm glad you don't judge me. We're judging you. We have that. Good quality. We're really good at it, right? People in Alcoholics Anonymous are exceptional at it. Listen, we can judge each other, and then I got your inventory on the way out the door. I say, hey, look, come here. I heard what you said, and, you know, I was like, oh, my God. I had an old-timer walk by me one time. I think he was having a bad day. I shared. Things were wonderful in my life. I had 90 days. I was sponsoring 3 women in the program. I had a couple girls halfway through the steps, you know what I mean? I was doing my own closed book study. It's closed. Okay? And he walked by me, and he goes, don't get sober too quick, son. I went, I'll throw coffee right in your face. Who you? Let's see how spiritual you are, Slick. You know. So, I got a comment for everything. I got an answer for everything. I got all the answers to your questions, and I don't even know. Howard used to say, Kevin, you don't even know the questions, and you got all the answers. So by now, if you're judging like what's going on at 16 years, there's really hope for the new people. Because I love still being, you know, a little bit crazy. But I'll tell you, I listen to the readings, and I hope you hear in the readings that through the process of the steps, I want to tell you, I'm not that fear-based guy. I'm not as delusional as I was because I have somebody to run my thoughts by. I don't suffer from fear. I don't have that hopeless state of mind and body anymore. I'm free. I was done drinking. I got busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. And even through tragedies... Even through tragedies, I want to tell you something. My life is fantastic. Most of the time, I need you people to remind me of that. Charlie Street reminds me of that. My friends remind me of that. I know where I came from. I know what I did. And I know where I'm at. And I have a freedom inside that I'm going to tell you something right now. Alcohol would never touch the freedom I have. Never. I want to tell you, if you're struggling to stay away from a drink, I get that. There's things that we do that. I get that. So don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to give you some hope. When you get over to this side after some hard work, the freedom is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dance like there's no tomorrow. Laugh like nobody's listening. If you have a loved one today, tell them you love them, because they might not be here long. You know, a gentleman who went to Vegas. I get that. I'll tell you a quick Vegas story. Okay, somebody got to, like, warn me. I know you will. 4 minutes, idiot! Don't call me Slick on the way out either. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care what you call me. Doesn't matter to me. It's what I call myself. So I got married to get to stop drinking. I was 24. A lot of you understand this. I was a maniac, man. The Olympics were in. The second street was packed with people. I saw this girl. We kissed. We had a wonderful weekend. That was a long relationship for me. You know what I mean? I snuck some underwear in her top drawer. I thought we were living together. 6 months later, we're drunk dancing at the Red Onion. You know? And you know what I'm talking about? And oh, yeah, man. Oh, whoa. Billy Ocean was playing, you know? I think it was Caribbean Queen or something, you know? I was like, woo! I'm high. And you're gorgeous. And I love you. She said, well, you want to get married? I said, what? My whole body said no. Right from boom, from my gut. And I go, absolutely. I love you. I had no idea what that word meant. If you tell somebody you love them and you don't love yourself, I think we have a problem. Disconnect. I don't know. We got married. So that's why I got married, is to settle down. So she says to me, like 6 months into this, she says, I have a really cool four couples. They want to go to Vegas. We're going to take this Tahoe. We're going to Vegas. You need to kind of keep that in mind. These are people from work. We're going to go for 4 days. Everything's going to be great. It's cool. I can hang on. I can maintain. So the Tahoe shows up. These are really nice folks. Good morning. Hi. Hi, I'm Kevin. Nice to meet you. Kevin, nice to meet you. Your wife tells us a lot about you. She did? Nice to meet you. I got this cooler. I got a couple cases of Heineken. I got a couple bottles of peach schnapps. I got a half ounce of blow. I got a half ounce of weed. I got 7 or 8 joints rolled. I've already had 3 beers and smoked a joint. It's 7 a.m. We're driving to Vegas. I'd have got 4 days off. You're ready to party, right? I mean, we're ready to go. This is a road trip. I'm stoned out of my gourd by Long Beach. You know what I mean? And Mike, he goes, Kevin, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. What? Who mentions time when you're partying like that? That's a normal guy statement. He said, no, thanks. I'm fine. I'm driving. Another idiot. I'm thinking we're going to have a problem here. There's going to be a problem. So anyways, fast forward. I get 2 days into Vegas. We're at the craps table. We're winning money. People are cheering. I'm high. I look and I go, oh, wow. I got 2 days left. I'm almost out. I start to freak out. I got to go poop. You know, things are... You guys get that, right? You tweakers get that? Yeah. I start to get nervous. I'm sweating. I lean over. I remember this like it was yesterday. A bunch of chips in front. I reach in and I grab like 10 black chips and I put them in my pocket. And my wife's about to roll the dice. I leaned in and I said, I give her a kiss. I said, I'll be right back. And I fully meant this. I went over to a payphone. I called my buddy in Long Beach. I said, hey, Danny, I need to re-up. He goes, good, because I'm re-upping. I go, good. Boom. It was way before cell phones. Okay? I went down to valet. I took one of those black chips. He said, I don't think it's your truck. I said, go get me the truck. Here's $100. He got me the truck. It's not mine. And away I go. 10 minutes. Awesome. I'm on my way to Long Beach. From Vegas. Yeah. I get to Long Beach and I knock on the door and his roommate answers. He goes, Yarts, what are you doing? I go, where's Danny? He goes, he went to re-up. I go, where? He goes, San Diego. I go, really? I know where he's at. Long Beach, San Diego. It's not a stolen vehicle. All of you were looking at me. It's not a stolen vehicle if you're going to bring it back. Remember that. It's not stolen. I borrowed it. So don't judge me. I get to San Diego. I have to go to the bathroom. Danny's in there. He looks at me and he goes, what the are you doing? I go, hey, dude, I got to go to Vegas. So he gives me this thing. I put it in a bag. I have no idea how long I was in San Diego. I have no idea. I drank a half a bottle of vodka. I got really high. I mean, I used to be able to chew top of my eyebrow. I would get so high. I'm a real lovely guy to party with, ladies. You just have to jump in my closet. We got to put the towel down, lock it a little bit. You have to sit at one end of the closet. I sit at the other end of the closet. And we don't let any of the clothes see us in the middle of it. You want to come party with me? I'm a real sweetheart. So then I drive back to Vegas. Well, I get to the table. The whole place has changed. Of course, you can imagine. There's no one there. I go upstairs. I go to the room. I'm happy. I'm really high. I'm chewing my eyebrow. I open the door. It looks like somebody has died. I go, I'm back. Nobody's even done any blow in the party. She's called the hospital, security. She thought I went to the bathroom and got like beat up. I mean, this is a normal woman. She says, where the f*** have you been? I said, you'll never believe this. He goes, you took my truck? I said, I'll knock your head off. If we kind of step back. Okay, he borrowed my truck. The truck's downstairs. It's full of gas. It's parked in the valet, and I tipped him real well. Well, they were packed and ready to go. I had 2 days left in Vegas. That's how I party. Okay? I also fell asleep on the couch. She bought a beautiful white couch. She covered me up with a nice maroon blanket. I'm a bedwetter lady, so be careful. I went to bed, and when I pulled the maroon blanket back, I was maroon. From here to here. And the couch was maroon. I said, we better get some dye. This thing looks good. So, that's how I don't know if I qualify to be here. But I qualify more when I stop drinking. Okay, so when I stopped drinking, I had to get into the steps. I had to get into some prayers. I love the one day at a time concept. I lived one day at a time. I've lived it one day at a time because I'm a survival. I want to tell you the difference here is what we're taught. And what they taught me is how to live one day at a time sober. You might miss that. Let's not miss that. One day at a time sober. What that means to me is I have prayers. Okay, I have steps. I have a sponsor. I have people like you. I have commitments. I have service. I get a structured, focused, kind of disciplined program. You know what I mean? You folks are here at meetings. There's a lot of folks that would like to be here. They're at places like penitentiaries, insane asylums, and they're dead. They'd like to be here. So if you don't think that you're one of the lucky ones, sorry to tell you, we are. So that's what I mean by living one day at a time sober. And sober to me means clear of mind, good heart, you know, clarity. I want to close with this. My son had a baby in July. We were really all stoked about that. I went over. My son and I are close. And the baby was born. I spent 10 days over there. And then I got a call in October that he had dropped a baby. And the baby passed away. And it was tragic. Tragic. And, you know, Red's here. He's lost his son. There's other people here who have, you know, it was the worst 12 days of my life. But I want to tell you the power of Alcoholics Anonymous, if I can, and hopefully I don't run out of time, is that there's a friend of mine. His name is Scott Kerr, and he lives in Morrison. And I had been going to meetings in Denver for about 16 years. And I called him on the phone, and I said, I need your help. He said, I'll meet you at York Street. It's 2 hours away from his house. He beat me to York Street. I had a friend of mine say, this is not grandiose. He said, there's a plane gassed up at Orange County Airport if you need to get over there. They had to put the baby on life support. It was just a freak accident. The baby dropped, hit its head on the tile, and just stopped breathing, and passed away at the hospital. So he meets me there 12 days. I never expected to be a pallbearer with my son, with my grandson, in a casket walking through the cemetery to bury my grandson. That wasn't something I had picked out of the fairy tale of my book. And I went to meetings at York Street. I told you people about it. People come up to me and they didn't say anything. What they said is, I'm sorry about your loss. We love you dearly. So I'm there and a friend of mine says, listen, I want you to speak tonight. I want you to speak tonight at Denver Cares. Denver Cares is a downtown detox where they take people off of Colfax Street, locked up, put you in gowns. I mean, it's a nasty place. It's not good to be there. Okay, 60 people there. Now, I said, when is it? He said, Thursday. I'm thinking, man, Thursday is like, I'm going to bury my grandson Thursday. So 2 o'clock chapel, 3 o'clock pallbearer, 4:30 eating with the family. Everybody's a mess. The baby touched so many lives. Family. I'm even still making some living amends, and there's people around and stuff like that. And so I said to Kyle, my son's name is Kyle, like Kent's son's name is Kyle. And I said, I got to go speak tonight at Denver Cares. And he goes, you are? I said, yeah. So I show up at Denver Cares at 7 o'clock, and I walk in. Now, I'm like, I'm not even present. I'm numb. I mean, I'm in shock. I'm numb. You know, I can't even tell you. So he says, I'd like to introduce a friend of mine, Kevin Yarder. He's from out of town. Like to share his experience, strength, and hope. Now, I don't know what I said, but I cried for the whole thing. And I still told people that I'm really glad I'm sober. I'm grateful to be in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful I'm here. I know what's happened in my life. I'm current. I'm present. I've been restored to sanity. There's wonderful things happening in my life. I said, but there has been a tragedy. And then I told everybody there. And I want to tell you, there were people in there that you would not want to hug them. There were people talking to themselves until I got halfway through this story. And to a person, everybody came up and hugged me and said, we're really sorry about your loss. People that weren't even coherent. They haven't even admitted they're sober. They're castaways. They're prostitutes. They're pimps. They're drug dealers. They're lowlifes. That's who we take. That's who gets sober here. The castaways. And they hugged me, and I hugged every one of them. And I needed every hug. They looked in my eye. Because we can tell when you're genuine, and we can tell when something's going on, and we can tell. But that's who we take. People that we can't take anybody else. So if that doesn't welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous, and did I plan that? No. Am I still sad? Yes. Have I visited and done? Yes. But I still take action that you guys told me. I make phone calls. I've talked to people. I've written some letters. My mom and I got really, really close, even to a next step close, because my mom lost my older sister through that process, and she carried around her shoes in her bag, you know, and I my mom and I got, you know. So there's a lot of things that come out of stuff that, you know, I've had to put my son on suicide watch. I've had to go over there a couple times because those two think that maybe it'd be best without them on the planet. And that's a real hard thing to do as a parent. You know, it's my only son. So I hear from you what to do, and then I try to go do it. It's fairly simple like that. And that's all it's been. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you know, that's still fresh. I'm really grateful to be sober. I hope you hear that. Welcome to anybody who's new. Congratulations on the CHIP people. If you have one day, 30 days, 90 days, you know, to the woman who's new and to the man who stood up as new, you know, anybody. This can, even though that's a tragedy, it's not a nightmare. My life is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. I'm going to leave here today and go play golf with a couple good friends of mine and laugh and smile. And I see, his name was Cohen, and I see him places. You know, I have his pictures. I held him. You know, so I have that. Do I have the answers? No, I have none of them today. Why we lose kids? Some of you have had probably tragic losses. Some of you today are probably sitting here with tragic things that have happened. And so I don't diminish or go, oh, wow, yours is worse than mine. No, what we do is we share. I'm going to leave here today, and I'm going to give you all a little bit of that. And what I walk out of here with is more hope, more freedom, more caring, more joy, more love. Because once I find that love center, then I'm not as selfish and self-centered. I become more centered in self. And that's really what I always wanted to be, was just a little bit more centered in self. And I think my time is up. Thank you very much for having me today. I appreciate being here. Thank you very much.